Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
And welcome to Nighttime Talk with AJ in for Niall this week. And we have a jam-packed show for you tonight. First up, smacking children. Some argue that a light smack is a necessary disciplinary tool, while others say it's harmful and outdated. In Ireland, smacking has been banned since 2015, but in parts of the UK, it's still legal under reasonable punishment. We'll be looking at the science behind it, expert opinions, and asking where you stand. Next, we turn to Trinity College Dublin's decision to rename its library. Originally named after philosopher George Berkeley, the name was changed due to his links to slavery. Some say this is a step towards justice, while others argue we shouldn't judge historical figures by today's moral standards. Should we rename buildings to reflect modern values, or are we erasing history? And finally, TV presenter Kat Deely has recently revealed that she and her husband Patrick Keelty sleep in separate rooms during the week due to their work schedules. It raises the question, is sharing a bed essential for a healthy relationship, or can separate rooms actually help couples to sleep and love better? Three big topics, and we want to hear from you. WhatsApp 087 188 0008 if you want to get involved in any of the topics tonight. But first up, the practice of smacking children as a form of discipline. This issue has sparked extensive debate, especially in light of recent events and evolving research. In Ireland, smacking was outlawed in 2015, reflecting a commitment to children's rights. In the UK, the situation varies. Scotland banned smacking in 2020 and Wales followed in 2022. However, in England and Northern Ireland, parents can still administer reasonable punishment without causing actual bodily harm. Now, in an article today in the Daily Mail, I read that Professor Robert E. Larzelaire, a human development expert, has conducted studies suggesting that the negative effects of spanking may be overstated. His research indicates that spanking counts for less than 1% of variations in child outcomes, which implies its harm might have been exaggerated. Larzelaire emphasises that spanking does not lead to harmful outcomes unless it is excessive or malicious. Now, to understand the potential consequences of physical discipline taken to extremes, we can look at the tragic case of Sarah Sharif. In August 2023, 10-year-old Sarah was found dead in her home in Woking in the UK, having suffered over 70 injuries, including fractures, burns and a traumatic brain injury. Her father, Irfan Sharif, admitted to beating her excessively as a form of punishment leading to her death. This case underscores the dangers of physical discipline escalating into abuse. Now, we want to hear from you. Do you believe that smacking should be illegal considering the potential for harm? Or do you think prohibiting it undermines parental authority? And if you witnessed a child being smacked in public, would you report it? Let us know your thoughts on WhatsApp 087 188 0008 or get involved on social media on Facebook at Ireland's Classic Hits and on X at Classic Hits Radio. I'm going to go to Mary first. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, AJ. How are you?
Not too bad. So what do you think? Smacking, yay or nay?
There's different levels of smacking now. But I wouldn't be going to the police or the guards or anything like that. I would if it kind of continued. Do you know what I mean? If I saw, they're smacking and they're hitting like that child in the UK, that was horrific.
Yeah, now I was reading about that case today and supposedly neighbours had heard stuff going on, and I'm not sure if much of it was reported or if any of it was reported. I see what you're saying. If you saw somebody giving their kid a little bit of a smack, I think what a lot of parents would argue is when your child is in danger and they're not listening to your commands, like if you're on a busy road or something like that, that maybe it's justified in that respect.
Yeah, definitely justified there. But as you said, neighbours did hear what was going on with that child. They should have intervened straight away. Pick up the phone. That child got in a merciful hiding. I've read about it.
It's horrific. It really is.
You know, the child in the UK?
Mm-hmm.
And why didn't they intervene that time? Because I would. I definitely would know to that extent.
I mean, there is a massive difference between a bit of a little
there
smack.
There is a huge difference to
yeah,
that.
And completely losing your rag and absolutely just, you know, laying into them, you know. At what point do you intervene then, Mary?
At that point, when you know a child is screaming, actually screaming, and you hear all this aggro going on with a child or with anyone going on in the house, if there's children, of course you're going to ring the police. Whether they're hitting the children, But if the children are screaming because of what's going on, you ring the police. You ring the guards. Sorry, police, I'll keep going.
Yeah, don't worry. We know what you mean. Don't worry, Mary. So, I mean, in your experience, like when you were a kid, did you get the odd smack or like the wooden spoon?
Well, I was just thinking there a minute ago, do you know, when the girl rang me there, my father was in the army for 45 years. We were brought up very disciplined. Very disciplined now, and I mean it. He brought it home with him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, that's different though, isn't it? I mean, do you feel that maybe went too far, Mary?
Oh, it did. Oh, definitely did. He definitely did. He definitely did, because he told us when he was sick, when he was, we say, on his way out, basically, for want of a better word. He told he was sorry. But it was, I used to stand in front of my sisters. If he went to hit them, I'd take it first. Because they were younger than me. Do you know what I mean?
That's very traumatic, Mary. That's very traumatic, especially as a child and having to take the digs, you know, for somebody else.
For my younger sisters, of course. I stood in front and I made sure he wasn't going to hit them. I took it. Do you know, because they were 6 years younger than me and 7 years younger than me.
Yeah, no, that is traumatic, Mary, and that there you've just demonstrated where the line is. That's taking it too far.
Oh, that was, you wouldn't do what he done, or what anyone would do to hit a child, to the extent that a man would hit another man. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
There is a fine line. Do you know why didn't somebody ring the guards when they knew, they heard what was going on in that house?
And I mean,
do you know what I mean? I would have kicked the door down.
That's why it's illegal here now, because I don't know where, if everybody is able to differentiate when the line has been crossed. And, you know, if one smack could escalate into actual physical abuse.
No, a smack is different now. A smack, you'd know what was going on. If the child, you know, if it continued, because when somebody's hitting a child, they're also been shouting and roaring and all that. I know, I've been there. I'm just saying, I would, because I would know, I'd know the signs straight away.
So do you think that do you think that smacking kids should be illegal? Do you think that we've done the right thing by making it illegal?
Oh yeah, definitely illegal. Do you know what I mean? There's other words. Now, what you can't do now, you can't put a child on a step now on time. On a, you know the way you go.
The timeout step.
Sit down there in the step for 3 minutes or whatever age the child is. Do you get me?
I mean,
that's
some
now gone as well.
Some research is saying that that's actually worse for their development than having the odd smack. You know, because it fills them with shame, and it's giving them that time to sit there on their own, and they just feel like they're really bad. Whereas some people say that a smack is over and done with much quicker.
No, I don't think a smack was going to solve it. Being honest, not solve that, but I think it's wrong for anyone to hit a child.
So how?
Anyone.
Do you have children, Mary? Sorry.
I do. I have four. They're all adults now.
So how do
I
you
have four,
think is
but
best?
I have grandchildren.
How do you think is best to deal with discipline if, you know, there's not going to be the odd smack or the wooden spoon?
Take whatever they have away from them. Do you know what I mean? Not putting them into a corner or putting them on a chair for their age thing. You know, no. I don't know. Smacking is not the answer, I don't think, anyway. The thing is, take away something belonged to them and just say to them, like, when you're calmed down, you can have this back.
So there's definitely lots of other ways to deal with it without resorting to, you know, a physical.
Yeah, thousand other ways of before you use physical, you know.
Stay there with me, Mary. I'm going to go to Jason now. We're talking about smacking children as a form of discipline, and we're just asking, do you agree with it or not? I'm going to go to Jason now. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Even as how are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. So do you agree with smacking kids?
It's a hard one, isn't it? I mean, if you look at what's going on today, there is no discipline. Now, we all know that. kids nowadays fear nobody. The guards, teachers, they know nobody can lay a hand on them. So, I mean, that's what we get now from no discipline. I mean, we have a generation of kids growing up that don't believe in the word no, have never been told, no, you can't have it. No matter what they do, they're all winners. They all get participation medals. There's, you know, we're not allowed to upset them anymore. No matter what they want to be, we have to let them be. What they want to say, we have to let them say. Now, I don't believe in beating kids, but, I mean, a bit of discipline never went wrong, you know what I mean? I mean, a tap on the hand, a tap on the back of the leg, but, I mean, you're not leaving marks. I don't agree with that. You know, I don't agree with leaving marks. But even now, they have too much that if you... I mean, kids want to be sent to their rooms nowadays. You know, I mean...
Well, that's not a punishment anymore, grounded. Jason. And, Jesus, no.
Oh, it's not a punishment. But come here. Look at prison. Prison's not a punishment anymore either. They can't wait to get in there because they have their three free meals, they have their PlayStations, they have their televisions, have their kettles in their cells. So, I mean, there is no punishment anymore. I mean, it's all for the criminal now. Nothing's for the victim anymore. All the wraparound services are now for the people that are committing the crimes now. They all have backstories. They all have broken this. You know, they come from this, that, and the other. You know, I mean, it's totally switched the other way where we think we can fix everybody. Some people just can't be fixed. Some people don't want to be fixed.
We did talk about that the other night, actually, in terms of a prison and stuff like that. And that point did come up that not everybody wants to be fixed. But just going back to actually bringing in prisons into it, do you think that kids that don't have proper discipline do end up, you know, perhaps committing more crime and being more susceptible to getting involved in things like that because they just don't care as much? They don't have the consequences.
It's a lot deeper than just that. I think the family structure plays a big part. I mean, we're living in an era now where most kids are brought up by a single parent and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, that the statistics are out for all that already, but you could spend a whole night on that.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, it is down to, for the last 30 years, we have been afraid to tell our kids no, because we're looking at the previous 50 years where discipline was a big thing in schools. Everybody had discipline. You knew who, I mean, if you thought that you were going to get into trouble in school, you were more afraid of what was going to happen at home. You know that way, if a guard came to your house back in the day, your father would go through you for a shortcut. Now, the parents are attacking the guards. How dare you pick on my child? You are always at him. He does nothing wrong. You know, parents nowadays do not want to believe that their kids do anything wrong. It's always, oh, he got in with the wrong crowd. Oh, he was led down the wrong path. Or, oh, he this, that, and the other. How about saying maybe your child was the one who led them all down the wrong path? But parents just don't want to do that anymore.
But do you think, because we're talking about smacking now, do you think that there's better ways that we could be disciplining our children that doesn't involve raising our hand to them?
Like what now? I mean, we all remember the super nanny talking and putting on the step, giving them foot, you know, the time.
See, I don't agree with that at all.
Honestly,
yeah.
That's nonsense. That is nonsense. Now, I'm coming from somebody who's reared a lot of kids, you know what I mean? So I didn't beat them. I didn't have to beat them. I brought them up to with respect, but they had a respectful fear. I mean, if they done something, unfortunately, here we go again, wait till your father gets home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what my wife was able to say to them. And it did work. I mean, none of my kids have been in trouble. And I just hated them, you know.
Jason,
I brought them all up the
busy
same
man.
Way. Yeah, I brought them all up the same way to respect themselves, respect their bodies, respect their parents, respect people around
them.
But
how did you do that, Jason? Was it just by showing them respect and showing them how to behave and like sort of displaying good behaviour, or what was your secret, Jason?
A bit of both. Just discipline. Let them know that if they done wrong, they were going to be punished for it. Thank God I didn't have to punish them much. I didn't beat them, but they did get a tap on me if they done something wrong. I mean, I had a son one day hit his younger sister very hard. I had to give him to let him see what it was like that she was a little girl. He can't be doing that. He's never done it since. He's a great protector of her now, you know. I mean, you have to put time and effort into your kids. There's no point having kids if you're going to stick them in front of a device all day and spend no time with them. I mean, it's like, I'm not comparing kids to animals, but I mean, it's like if you get a dog. If you don't train your dog properly, what's going to happen? It'll go out onto the street, run around and bite people. You know, you have to put time and effort into kids. They are kids at the end of the day. You mold them. Like, when they go out onto the street, they're a reflection of you. As I've always said, I'd rather people come back and say they were street angels, knowing that they're little house devils, than the other way around.
Yeah, that's
but then
that's
it comes
a good
down
point,
to respect.
Jason, yeah.
There's no There's no family structure anymore. Unfortunately, the way things are going and the way the media society, we're not advertising the family structure anymore. We're advertising you do whatever you want and everybody else has to accept it. If they don't accept it, they're the problem, not you. You're special. You've never done anything wrong.
Now, there's one thing you did say there, Jason, when you said your little boy hit your little girl, and you were saying, you know, you can't hit. Now, when we're encouraging our children not to hit, then surely we shouldn't be hitting them, because then that's just teaching them that's okay.
I know what you're saying on that, but I mean, if he's going to put his hand into the fire, what do you do? Tell him how dangerous it is, or do you give him a tap and say, do you think that hurts? You put your hand in there, it's going to burn. You know, I know what you're saying, but as I said, I'm not saying you have to beat them. I'm not saying that at all. Sometimes just the fear of getting into trouble off the father was enough. But unfortunately, not anymore.
And then in terms of families...
Yeah, no corporate punishment.
Go ahead, Mary. Sorry, go ahead.
It's like the schools. I mean, we used to get slapped. You know, a corporate punishment has gone out years. Do you know what I mean? I'm 64... We all got slapped off of teachers and got the odd clip and this and that. That's not allowed today. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything has changed.
But do you think that was a good thing, Mary, that the teachers were able to, you know, like, hit you or, you know, give you a rap with it? What was it, with the chalk dusters?
We didn't know any better.
Yeah, but looking back now...
We didn't know any better then.
Looking back now, Mary, though, do you think, Jesus,
now,
that was terrible?
I'd love to see a nun hitting me now.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, Mary. I hope not. Yeah, but like you say, I mean, it was a lot stricter in the schools. But I mean, thinking about that now, I think it's absolutely mad. I mean, I never experienced it. Thank God, I'm not old enough. But yeah, it sounds crazy to think that a teacher could actually lay their hand on you or throw something at you or, you know, give you a rap over the hand or whatever.
The ruler in the back of the legs, the batta, they used to call it. Right in the back of the legs. You'd be going home with two red iron marks in the back of your legs from a stick, a wooden batta, she used to call it.
Oh, my God. Jesus, Mary.
You know what I mean? It's just totally different.
It is definitely totally different. I mean, I certainly don't think
we should
become...
To what kids are now.
Yeah, I'd rather now, though. I'd rather the way it is now than that, for sure. Jason, what do you think? Do you think they're not strict enough in schools?
Oh, well, the teachers and principals have absolutely no power over kids, right? The kids run the schools. The kids get to do what they want. Teachers are just sitting there and they're just getting through to their pension, I think. I mean, that's gone. I don't agree with going back to the beating of the kids. I don't. But you can see when the discipline came out, you can see how society went. I mean, look how many teenage murders we have now compared to 30 years ago. I mean, you can't open the paper today. Very sad case. In a sense, 13-year-old girl in Cork in England clutching a teddy bear after murdering somebody the night before and setting the house on fire. I mean, I do a lot of English work, so I listen to a lot of English radio. The amount of murders coming out over there between kids on kids, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds stabbing each other to death on school buses, in schools, outside schools. I mean, what's gone wrong? Something has gone wrong. You know, I mean, I don't want to go back to when kids were literally beaten up, kids were seen and not heard, wasn't that what they used to say?
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to that, but we've literally swung the pendulum the other way, where the kids are now making the rules and parents are fucking terrified. You know, I mean, parents are now terrified to say anything to go against the grain in case their kids are whipped off them.
I saw that case that you were talking about. Actually, I didn't read too much into it because I just find sometimes these things, they're just so traumatic to read. But the age, it was the age that is shocking, a 13-year-old child. And
the
pendulum...
That's not even the youngest.
No, it's not by any stretch. But I think you're right. The pendulum has swung too far in the other direction, just judging by what's happening. I just have to go to the ads. Mary, Jason, stay with me. I'm going to come to Sean after the break. We're talking about smacking children and just asking if you agree with it or not. If you want to get in touch on WhatsApp, 087-188-0000. Nighttime Talk with AJ in for Niall all this week. Now, in an article in the Daily Mail today, I read that a human development expert has conducted studies suggesting that the negative effects of spanking children may be overstated. His research indicates that spanking accounts for less than 1% of variations in child outcomes, implying that its harm might be exaggerated. So we want to hear from you on this. Do you believe that smacking should be illegal, considering the potential for harm, or do you think it's prohibiting? Or do you think prohibiting it undermines parental authority? And if you witnessed a child being smacked in public, would you report it? Now, I'm going to go to Sean next. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Here's my two pins on this one. You know, as a kid there, you know, I had mother and father there that was very, you know, were strict enough. You know, and we didn't step out of line much, you know. And we were always, you know, respectful of the mother and father, you know, as that's the way it should have been, you know. And if we did step out of line, it'd be the mother and father that put us back into line, whether it be a slap or, you know, a thump off the outlet. And that's the way it was back then. Me bringing up my kids in the last 20 years, you know, I gave my kids a slap. I did, of course I did, you know. Thinking that they could just ruin the roost. It was never going to happen. Did I slap my kids into oblivion? No, I didn't. But I did, you know, give them a bit of a tap and tell them that, look, that's wrong, you know, and that's wrong. And that's what it was. Now, Adrian, we have kids telling the parents what to do these days, you see, in 2024. I've seen it with my own two eyes. They're ruining the roost, you know. They're ruining the whole family. They're doing what they do. And it's not even the parents. The parents have no control over the kids these days.
But do you think that smacking is the right way to get control, as you put it, over your kids?
Well, you know, you see, at the end of the day, Adrian, you know, it's got to be coming from a young age. You know, what's happening now is, you know, we have tablets rearing our kids, you know, and that's what I see all around me. You know, there's no parenting at all. You know, give the kids a tablet and put a movie on for them, or put, you know, something on for them on the TV. And, you know, the parents, there's no parenting anymore, you know. And that's
do you think, Sean, because I actually think that parents are more hands-on nowadays than they were back when I was a kid.
I think so, Sean.
Yeah, I do.
No, they're not.
No, AJ.
Yes, yeah, so I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I have nieces and nephews that have kids. And they give the tablet and make sure the battery's charged. Yeah. And, you know, and here, see if that fucking battery runs out, there's going to be murder.
Sorry, Sean. Sorry for cutting across you real quick. Unfortunately, we've replaced parenting and spending time with our kids with monetary stuff. Mammy and daddy are out there walking the ass off themselves, and at the weekend they're trying to squash in so much activities to spend the little bit of time that they have got with their kids, and then come Monday, kids are back into creche, back into school.
But that's not the parents' fault. That's the way it is.
No, that's society. We're living in now.
Yeah,
but that's the society we're living in now, and these are the consequences. Unfortunately, the kids suffer. The kids The kids want time with their parents. They don't want the big houses, the big cars, the 3 holidays a year. I guarantee you most kids would forsake most of that to actually spend time with their mom and dad. You know, that type of way from home from school, have one parent there.
I do think, though, Jason, like, especially off the back of conversations that we've had this week, it's just a case where you have to work to be able to eat. Never mind getting big cars, big houses, holidays, all that sort of thing. You have to work your arse off just to be able to put dinner on the table.
The fact of the matter is, you asked one simple question, Agent, today, and you asked, what's going wrong with the kids? I'll tell you what's going wrong with the kids. And I said it to you, and I'll say it to you again. The kids have too much control over the parents. And that's what the problem is today. They're getting away with murder. Literally getting away with murder. They're telling the kids, they're telling the parents what to do. You know, talked in, we have as young as 11-year-olds, I've seen it. 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds telling your mother and father to fuck off. That wouldn't have happened back in my day.
They found
it would never have happened.
they phones worth £1,000 now at 13 and 14 years of age. They're wearing these Canada Goose jackets that are €400. 13 and 14 year olds going around. You know that way? I mean, it's all material now. Once you have the best clothes, the best phone, the best runners, the best hair, this, that, and the other, the parents think they're doing the best for them. But unfortunately, money doesn't buy you manners.
No, that's true, Jason. Money doesn't buy you manners. I certainly don't be spending that much on my kids' clothes. Bloody hell. £400 for a jacket. You mental.
But Adrian, you know, the fact of the matter is, and it is the reality that the kids are telling their parents what to do. And I've seen it. And I know it's happening. It is happening. And the fact of the matter is, that's the way it's gone in 2025, would you believe? Because back in 2004, that would never have happened. It's 21 years later that it's came, you know, it's just came around, you know. Now, no, my kids wouldn't tell me what to do because, you know, they know where their bread is buttered. I'm not a bastard by no means. I'm a good father and, you know, they have a good mother and they would never have told me what to do. You know, they're good kids, as I say, and you know, they're older kids, they walk and all. But they'd never come in here and give me shit or give, you know, my partner shit by no means because it wouldn't be happening. You know, and that's the way it is, you know, even at that age, you know, because I know, you know, older folk can get very ratty there in their 20s and their 22s and, you know, and I have had it and I told them, here, don't forget where you're living. You want to get shitty, fuck off and rent the place and you can do it, you know, somewhere else. But look,
you wouldn't tell your kid to F off, though, would you, Sean? You wouldn't tell your kid to F off, would you?
Oh, yeah, of course I would.
But they can't tell you to F off.
If they're giving me shit, I would. I'd tell them to get the fuck out of the house. Of course I would. You know, at the end of the day. You know, they're living in my house at the end of the day. You know, it is where it is. You know, but the fact of the matter is, I love my kids. Of course I do. But they got to learn. And they got to know where they stand with me and my beautiful partner at the end of the day. You know, and it is where it is. You know. Parents these days just don't give a fuck about the kids. And that's going to be honest with you.
I disagree, Sean. I don't know.
I really don't.
I know Jason and Sean, you're both on the same page there, but I do actually think that parents nowadays, the majority of them are more hands-on than they were back in
my day.
They're
running amok every night of the week. They don't even know where they are.
Go ahead, Jason.
One night at the end of the other.
Sean,
just a sec. Go ahead, Jason.
You're talking about helicopter parenting. I.e. they're hovering over them in school, they're making sure they get the best grades. They're cramming so much into the weekend. Because you're seeing it on Instagram and Facebook, all the pictures of them up doing all these activities, they're all being crammed in. But what about the rest of the week when they're in school and in creche? They're going straight from school to a childminder or after school. They're not seeing their parents till 7 o'clock at night. They're in bed by 8. You know what I mean? That's where society's gone wrong.
I do agree, Jason, and I don't agree that with all of the time that the child is spending outside the house when you've got two working parents like that. But I think in general, there's a lot more emphasis and focus on raising our children now and, you know, not using physical violence and, but not, I mean, it's not violence, but not giving them a smack and that sort of thing. Because
what's wrong with giving? What's wrong here? Hold on, Adrian. Yeah. What's wrong with giving a child a little clatter down again?
The only way I would agree with it is if it's like we're on a busy road or there's, you know, they're trying to put their hands in a fire or something like that, and you grab them or you tug them or
you're still hitting them.
But in that instance, Sean, I wouldn't disagree with it in that instance.
So here's the thing, right? I want to say this to you, okay? Niall Boylan rang her up a few months ago that actually shouting at your children. Now, it wasn't him. It was a study done. Mm-hmm. Shouting at your children is just as bad as slapping your children. So, and Niall Boylan asked me, "What, you know, would you be shouting at them, you know, continuously all day?" I said, "No, that wouldn't be my cup of tea." I said, "I just give them a little clatter, and you know, and that was back in the day. I give them a little clatter, and you know, it was what it was, and you know, they knew what they're doing. You know, I said, stop that, would you?" You know, and that was what that was. You know, I wasn't kicking him around the kitchen, like. But you know, and he said to me, "Well, it's better than shouting all day." I said, "Yes, it is. Of course, it is." And the story was that shouting at them all day is more harmful than just giving them a little tap, you know. So, you know, I just don't get this, you know. But here we go. In 2025, we have kids running their parents' homes. You know, they're up in the back bedrooms there smoking fucking weed, playing PlayStations and telling the mother or father to fuck off. You know, that's the reality of 2024. That's the case, you know. And that's
okay, Sean,
is,
Sean,
you know?
Stay with me there. I do have another couple of people on the line. I want to go to Kathleen. We're talking about smacking kids. You're listening to Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can WhatsApp 087-188-0008. Now, Kathleen, hi, how are you?
Yes, I'm okay. I think that, you know, strapping can be more hurtful. I have a daughter, she's grown up now, but I remember when she was driving me nuts when she was only about 3 or 4. And I remember slapping her and she went backwards and I went, oh my God, I just got hold of her and I started hugging her, you know. I think the best cure for me is, well, these days, okay, there is an awful lot of antisocial behaviour within the country, isn't there? There's an awful lot.
There is, definitely.
So if you take something off a child that's giving them that attitude that I can do what I want, well, can you now? No, don't slap them. Don't abuse them. Take out from them what they love the most and refuse, and the mobile phone as well, and totally refuse until they learn manners.
So they have consequences, Kathleen, without having to hit them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about just talking to your child and having an environment where they feel comfortable to be able to talk and to be heard and where you respect them and they respect you? Do you think that would work better than coming in with a heavy hand?
I think, I'll be honest with you, my own experience was when they're small, they're not too bad, but it's when they get to the teenage years that I found hard. I found that very, very hard because I couldn't control my child, you know. And it was the adolescent years from say 13 till about 17, something like that. Found that very, very hard to deal with.
But I mean,
so what were when she was small? But
did you get there in the end, Kathleen? I mean, did they turn out after their teenage years? Because teenage years can be difficult, regardless of how you raise your children.
I like to think I did because I used to talk to her and I used to say, "Well, look, you know, you have to be in at a certain time." And I would try my best. That's debatable because, look, stuff happened, and I just, you know, it's.
Well, no, agents, it didn't obviously happen.
You know, the people to go out and, you know, start on weed and all
agent.
This, and that's the gateway to, you know, for anybody
agent.
to lose control of their child.
Sean, yeah, sorry, you're trying to get in there.
Adrian.
Sean, are you calling me Adrian? It's AJ.
AJ, sorry, AJ.
No, you're
crying. No, here's the thing, AJ.
You can understand what I'm saying to you.
Sorry, Kathleen, just hang on a second.
No,
I can't.
I know, 100%.
Go ahead, Sean.
What's the name there?
And Kathleen.
Kathy.
Yeah, what's that girl's name? Kathleen.
Yeah.
Fair play to Kathleen, because I don't understand. You went through an awful lot of shit. Here's the thing, Kathleen. Do you know what? See, my young blood was 16, 17. Do you know what I done, Kathleen? You know, I went down in a car with a couple of my mates there. And I went down there, and he was acting the bollocks. And I pulled him in by the head into the car. And I told all the rest of them there, yeah, keep it up, and I'll fucking smash his head in two. And I bring him home, and I told him I'd smash his head in two.
Sean, just less of the old violence there. We don't condone violence
Here's the thing, AJ, you know. This is what it is today, you know. You know, you're talking about, Jesus, mollycoddle the bastard. You know, here's the thing. You've got to give them reality as of where it is, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And did I talk sense to my uncle that night? I fucking did, I did.
I don't know, Sean. I think you might have just scared him, because, I mean, that sounds pretty violent to me, Sean.
I did. No fucking choice.
No, I had no choice, AJ.
I think he was going in with the wrong crowd, and he was acting the arsehole with the wrong crowd, and I told him where the spread was born. And the fact of the matter is, if that's here, That was my love to him. That was my love to him. Because I told him outright, this is not going to work for you. And you're going to be smoking.
Now?
You're not going to be smoking weed in this gaff. No. Yeah.
Sean,
he's
great.
I've got to be honest with you. He's fucking deadly.
100%. How is he
he's
now?
He's fucking doing great.
Is he doing great
flying.
Now, yeah?
He's fucking flying.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Absolutely.
So I hear a bit of good news,
yeah.
So there's a bit of light in, there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel for me, then, is there?
Sorry, Jason, did you want to say something there?
100%.
Sorry, Jason.
John. Thank you.
Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, Sean's still there, is he?
Yeah, Sean's there.
Sean, did you manage to keep him out of prison?
He's flying. He's doing a great job now.
Yeah, there you go. You've done the right job. Unfortunately, AJ, sometimes you do need to stand up to these teenage junkers, because out on the street, they think they're invincible. They come home to the house, they think they run the house. And unfortunately, as the father of the house, you have to let him know that you are the boss in that house, unfortunately, because
you
we all know what teenage junkers are like. Unfortunately, you have to be harder with younglers. And if you come from a working class area, you're battling the drug dealers that are offering him money, cars, and this, that, and the other. Unfortunately, AJ, you go down to any working class house estate tonight, and all you're going to see is younglers hanging around corners on scooters and electric bikes. It's unfortunate, because parents are afraid to say, no, come here, I have to go, I'm up at 4 o'clock.
Jason, you go to bed. Thank you so much for getting involved tonight. Sean, Kathleen, stay with me. After the break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to Cormac. We're talking about smacking kids. If you want to get involved in the conversation, 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. To Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ, sitting in for Niall Boylan. Now, we're talking about smacking kids here tonight. If you want to get involved, 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. Now, I'm going to go to Cormac. Hi, Cormac. How are you?
I'm very well. AJ, good evening.
Good evening. So, what do you think? Well, I don't know if you've been listening to the conversation so far, but there's been a lot
of... I have, yeah. I've been listening to it all.
Okay, so what's your... What do you think?
Well, I think people's views on this is obviously based on their own life experience. I would tend to favour Sean's approach to this situation because... I'm what you might regard as a senior. I've 8 grandchildren, and I've seen how different generations have reared their children. Now, I want to say to Sean one thing. Whilst I agree with the thrust of his approach, I only got a smack one time in my life as the youngest of 12 children. And I was 14 years of age. I stayed out till midnight in a tennis club at a disco and didn't come home till 12:15. And when I came into the house, my father gave me a slap on the back of the neck. And I had never been disciplined in that way before in my entire childhood. And neither had any of my siblings that I can recall. But I want to say to Sean that to some extent changed my relationship with my father for the rest of my life, because I didn't think it was warranted. He knew where I was. Now, he told me to be in at 10. I came in at 12:15, and he gave me a slight slap on the back of the neck as I was going up the stairs to bed. But it changed my view of my father at 14 years of age. Now, I just want to leave that with you, Sean. Now, secondly, I had a sister who wouldn't even slap the back of her child's hands, and she reared 3 beautiful children. However, I favour Sean's approach because I had an experience recently in a town I live in. I won't name the town. I pulled in to a senior car parking spot on the night of a rugby match. And within 1 foot of me, outside a bank, I saw this 16-year-old absolutely pulverizing a younger child. I got out of the car. This is coming back to the point you made, would you intervene? I got out of the car and I told the guy who was beating up this young fella to back off, or I was calling the police immediately. He called me an old fogey. I said, come here. I pulled him off the young fella. I said, come here, you. I can put you down in 2 seconds by pinching your neck, and I'm 77 years of age. And when you wake up, I said, there'll be a policeman over you to take you to jail. He says, he's my brother. I said, I don't care who he is. Now, this kid was about 14. But when I challenged this young fella, he backed off, and then he came to strike his brother again, and I gave him a clatter. And he ran off. Now, that's what Sean would have done, because I wasn't prepared to see a young 13 to 14-year-old being beaten up. Now, it was the right of a night of a rugby match. His younger brother was obviously out of order, but he was treating him with severe violence. So I matched his violence, and he ran off. I don't know what happened subsequently, but there are certain occasions where violence is necessary, and I 100% agree with Sean in relation to that. Your question, AJ, tonight was, would you intervene? Well, when I saw this violence going on, I could do nothing else but intervene. And this kid, who thought I was a senior, thought he could dictate to me. Well, I put him in his place quick, and he'd never do it again.
Now, Cormac, I just want to go back to your first point that you made there, saying that it changed your relationship with your father when he clattered you over the back of the head or the back of the neck. That's another thing that I've been thinking about as well, that it will alter your relationship with your parent if they're going to lay their hands on you, because it is an invasion of your personal space. And at the end of the day, he did hit you and you felt like it wasn't warranted. Now, if you had been, let's say you were beating up one of your siblings or something like that, and your dad had to come over and like grabbed you or whatever, you wouldn't have had that same sort of feeling against your father afterwards, because you'd have been like, okay, look, fair enough, because he was.
No,
sort
I wouldn't, AJ, but AJ, I never stayed out beyond my time ever again until I was 18, and then he let me do what I wanted to do. I never breached his rule after that clatter.
Let and me just go back to Sean now, because you did put that.
That's the point Sean is making.
Let me just
that's
go back
the
to
point
Sean
Sean
then.
Sean is making.
I'll get Sean here now. Sean, have you been listening to Cormac there?
Well, absolutely, and there's rules, and Cormac said it, there is rules. You know, I have rules in my house, you know. My kids are a lot older now, and, you know, I tell them when to come home, or what time they come home at, and they should be home at. You know, I don't want to be looking for them, and I don't want to be going out looking for them. I know, you know, I don't want to be doing that as a parent, you know, and, you know, I class myself as a very good parent, you know. You know, and rules are rules. You know, you got to have rules, you know, even if they're older. You know, you can't be letting them run amok. You can't be letting kids just take over. Look, you know, Jade, and I want to go back to Jade earlier on. I am the boss of this house. I always will be. You know, there's only one captain of the ship, and that's me.
Likewise.
You know, and I
likewise,
steer this ship.
Sean, likewise.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. And I steer this ship, and I look after this ship. And I'd look after it well. And that's the way my father done it. And, you know, it is where it is, guys. You know, there is no...
But Sean,
you know,
Sean,
focal...
Sean, sorry to interrupt you. Sorry to interrupt you. I'd like to make an observation to AJ. AJ, if you think that parents these days are paying more attention to their children, you're living in cloud cuckoo land. And I mean that with the greatest... of respect.
That's fine, Cormac. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Most of the young parents these days have no idea where their children are. They allow their children to dictate to them.
Absolutely.
And they could care less, yep. Most of them.
They're turning on the piss.
So,
AJ, fucking drinking.
You're a young person, yes. I would say. AJ, I'd say you're a young person. But
oh,
let
no,
me
I'm
tell
not.
You this.
I'm old.
The parent... Well, you're not in your 70s.
I'm not, no. No, I'm not as old as you, Cormac, but I am old.
Right.
And
now,
I do have kids. And
well,
I'm very hands-on with my kids. And my friends who have kids, they're very hands-on with their kids. So I'm not seeing what you're seeing, I think, is just how it is.
When you say hands-on, what do you mean?
As in, I'm a hands-on parent. I'm very much involved in their lives. I know where they are all the time. I know what they're doing at all times. Within reason. So, yeah, no, I definitely think that I spend more time with my kids than my parents.
AJ.
Yeah, go ahead, Cormac.
AJ, the generation coming after you the generation coming after you are not like you. Let me tell you that. They're being dictated to by their children. They don't know where their children are.
Hang on, Sean.
All they do is throw them an iPhone and forget about rearing them. That's what's happening. Sean is perfectly correct, in my opinion.
Sorry, Sean. Go ahead there, then.
And respect to Cormac there. You know, we were brought up with respect, and now you're bringing my kids up with the same respect. They will not disrespect me, you know, because I am the boss, you know, and I'm not meaning that, you know, I'm going to pound my kids left, right and centre when they mess up. But the fact of the matter is there's got to be a bit of respect here at AJ at the same time, you know, and it has to be respect. You know, just no. You can't rule. You can't rule. I can't bring up a family without respect. You know, but all I'm seeing now is, and I'm seeing friends of mine, literally, with the same outfits and the same families that I have. The young fellas are running amok. You know, they're telling them to fuck off, and you know, they'll do what they want. And to, you know, it's fucking crazy. I can't believe it myself.
Just stay there with me, Cormac and Sean. I just want to read out a couple of messages before I go to Bernie. So one message coming in saying, putting them into timeout in the bedroom with their PlayStation and tablet doesn't work, but it's a popular punishment. Get them involved in little easy chores around the house from a young age, only an hour or less a day. Communicate with them, talk to them, watch the news with them. Don't expect them to get any sort of a good personality without this. This argument of slapping children is long over. It won't work. Don't reward them when they have done wrong. And another one saying, if I put my hand on another person, I'd be charged with assault. Parents these days are brilliant. So, you know, there is differing opinions out there, guys. Just stay with me, though. I'm going to go to Bernie. Hi, Bernie. How are you? Sorry, Bernie.
Good, AJ.
Hiya.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. So what do you think about this? I don't know if you've been listening to the conversation so far, but it's very much on the side of that children aren't disciplined enough nowadays.
Well, I think it's a very hard job today in today's climate. I mean, I reared four. I'm the oldest at 12. And I have seven grandchildren. And I do see, I mean, the changes in all the generations coming through. But I do think they're doing the best they can with the parents today are struggling with such huge things like mortgages, getting their kids into creches, trying to, you know, keep them, get them out to places, bring them here, bring them there, bring them to rugby, bring them to the swimming. You know, there's so much in the car and the parents are doing their best, but it's nearly impossible to have the, like, we had a good relationship with our parents because they were at home. Like, our mother was at home with us. Now that option is not available.
Sorry,
and
excuse
really
me. Excuse me for interrupting.
Yes.
Are you trying to say that people brought up in the 50s and 60s were not worse off than parents are today? We didn't have cars driving us to school. We had to walk miles to school. We didn't have money. We didn't have iPhones. We didn't have cars. And you're trying to allege that the parents today are under pressure when they're driving BMWs to take their children to school, collecting them from school and throwing iPhones at them, costing 800 quid. Are you trying to say that these parents are more stressed than we were in the 50s and 60s?
Bernie, go ahead there.
When we have no money.
Cormac, let Bernie answer you there.
I'm sorry, but I understand what you're saying, and I'm not alleging anything. I'm not trying to assume anything. What I see with my own family, with my own children, they're not throwing €300 iPhones. They're not buying, black jackets that they're all wearing, something face, front, or I don't even know what it's called.
North Face.
All the teenagers are wearing. They're not doing
You've never been put under pressure to buy... any of your children a €300 pair of boots, have you not?
No.
Pair of Nike shoes.
I haven't.
You've never been put under pressure.
Never once. And I work.
Well, they're all wearing them.
Cormac, just for a sec, just let Bernie answer you.
They're all wearing them.
Cormac, just let Bernie answer you.
They're all wearing Nike shoes at
€300.
Go ahead, Bernie.
They're not in my family. I can just say that my family are not wearing that. The image is not this. The person inside the person is the important thing. That's what you're trying to get them to respect and understand. They don't go out. If they want a pair of €300 runners, well, they have to earn that. There is no way they're going to get that thrown at them, or an iPhone, or any of that rubbish. They get a handed down my phone when it's
AJ.
Yeah, Sean, go ahead.
AJ.
Sitting in my
car.
Can I
just come in here for a minute, AJ?
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Sorry, Cormac. You know, I just want to say this, AJ, okay? My parents and my great-grandparents made this country, same as ourselves and everybody else that's listening here tonight, you know, and their great-grandparents, you know. It was a great country. But see, now, this country's fucked, literally. And I'm sorry for the language. And see the generation that's coming behind us. They're a generation of, you know, just want to be, well, I don't know, smoking weed and playing PlayStations and this, that and the other. They don't want to walk. They don't want to do a fuck off. And the generation behind that, I can only imagine what's going to go on there. This country's fucked. I'm going to say this to you now. You know, I'm just thanking God that I had the opportunities that I had in my life from my parents, that I'm good to go. My kids are good to go as well. You know, but the generation now that's behind me, there's no hope for this country. There's no hope. You know, this country's fucked. You know, everybody's talking about foreigners and this, that, you're not coming to this country, but they're not talking about the generations of Irish people that, you know, made this country what it was. And as I say, our grandparents and our parents that made this country what it was.
Okay, Sean, just let me go back to Bernie there, because I just want to put that question to Bernie. Bernie, do you think that with the next generation and the generation after that, do you think we're doomed, as Sean's been saying and as Cormac was implying as well?
Well, I can only look at my own family and say that I have instilled in them the generational hardships and all the things that our families did to earn where they are today. And there's no Nike runners or never seen on any of my ancestors. They went out and worked and they earned a living. They worked to live. They didn't go out to buy fancy, flashy things to show off to their friends. They brought us up the hard way, which was, and the honest way. And they, if you haven't got the money, we went to England and we earned it and we came home. And we didn't get handed anything. You know, there was nothing in Dublin in the 60s, 70s and 80s for people rearing large families. There was nothing. You went out and earned it. The kids went out at 9, 10, 11, picking up glasses in the pubs. We didn't get anything handed to us for free. Never would. And I would not expect my next generation, my grandchildren, to think that I'm going to rock up with a pair of Nike shoes or a North Face jacket because they deserve it, because they're worth it. No, they have to earn it. And I would never do that. I never instill that in my kids. And I'm very proud of my children. They don't go out that way. They'll go to second-hand shops. They're not led by designer labels.
Bernie, thank you for that. Thanks.
The person.
And thanks, everyone, for getting involved. I'm just going to read out. I just got a message in from one of our listeners, and it said that they just wanted to give their input about smacking kids. I'm 23 now, but I used to get a right hiding off the mother. When it was deserved, it was never for no reason. But I have to say, it's probably one of the best things that she's ever done for me, because over the years, I stopped doing all of the stuff I was getting up to, and it shaped me out to be a better person, I think. Okay, so there you go. That's it on smacking kids. After the news, we're going to be talking about renaming Trinity College Dublin's library. Are we editing history or are we keeping with the times? We'll be back after the news. To Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan tonight. Now, we've been talking about smacking kids because there's new research in a Daily Mail article today. A human development expert has conducted studies suggesting that the negative effects of spanking may be overstated. His research indicates that spanking accounts for less than 1% of variations in child outcomes, implying that its harm might be exaggerated. So we want to hear from you. Do you think that smacking should be illegal, considering the potential for harm? Or do you think prohibiting it undermines parental authority? And if you witnessed a child being smacked in public, would you report it to the Gardaí? So I'm going to go to Derry Ann now. Derry Ann, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, good. You're still doing a blinder, AJ.
Thanks, Darianne. So listen, you did message us in saying, you know, if you put your hand on another person, you'd be charged with assault.
Yeah,
so
absolutely, yeah. And I mean, you don't even have to hit that person to be charged with assault. But no, I've a big, big block about anybody taking a hand and smacking a child. Because it's totally wrong. And I grew up in a fairly dysfunctional childhood, but I was never smacked. Now, I think one of my sisters was, but I wasn't. And I reckon the psychological effect it has on children is absolutely outrageous. And just listen to some of the callers, I won't name them, earlier there. I was quite shocked at how, you know, I'm the ruler of the house. I'm the one that'll, you know, that is not the way it is. Kids are brought into the world to be loved. And, you know, unless we nurture them and love them and bring them into the ways, our ways, our truths, our whatever you want to call it. And I was horrified to hear that smacking was only legalized in 2015.
Yeah, it's very recent. I would have thought
shocking.
It was way back. I was surprised as well, Darianne. I really was.
That's shocking. Shocking. And I never, thankfully, I rare two kids. Thankfully, I just could never have put a thing, and neither did their dad either. But I never, ever could have put a finger on my two kids. Never, never. And just something I want to say to AJ about saying the kids today, the kids today, the kids today. I live in an area where there are lots of new mums around and lots of new kids and lots of everything. And I can see the love, the time, the commitment. I can see them picking up their kids from the creches, the dads, the love. I don't believe that we are, you know, that the kids are what I heard earlier. You know, they're all this, they're all that. They're not. Yes, there's definitely a group of kids that are out of order, and they're probably teenagers. And sure, when my own son was a teenager, sure, I had to deal with him. I had issues, and I dealt with them.
But I think that it's been there in every generation, where there is some kids that go off the rails, and it's almost like a natural part of growing up, especially in the teenage years.
It is. It's absolutely not new, and it's not, you know, today. I mean, as I said, the other last weekend, and I was at this most amazing little concert down in Rush in the theatre, and my four-year-old grandson was playing the ukulele in a concert. And, you know, that whole place at 11 o'clock in the morning was full of mothers, fathers, kids from four to whatever, just there, full of love, showing what they could do. It might only take a second, a minute. And no, I'm sorry, I just think we can't keep giving the negative vote to this whole thing about kids.
Yeah, I agree. And I think any kids that I come across, I think they're all fantastic. They're all great. And
beautiful.
Like I was saying before, I think that parents are more hands-on now. But I was shut down by everybody on the call. And I mean, that's fine, because everybody has their own opinion and everybody has their own viewpoint.
Absolutely. AJ, can I just share something with you?
Yeah.
For the last speakers. I often go into, I won't say the name, the supermarket that's near me, right? I go in and I see a little group of teenagers gathered around, sitting down outside together with the same tracksuits, you know, the same everything.
Yeah.
So I go up and I buy the biggest bag of not just gummy bears, but jellies or whatever you can get. And when I'm going down, I go, "Hi, lads. My son always loved jellies." And I swear to God, the guys melt. And I walk away so fast, I don't even want to see their reaction. But I think it is up to us to give them a little bit back of that love, so they see that me over 70, you know, I can be an okay person, and the faces and the joy that I can see with my peripheral eye as I walk away is amazing. So I just think we've got, there's an onus on us to also kind of give that love back. And women, us as women, you know, we can give that quite naturally.
Yeah, I agree with you, Darianne. Now, I do have Cormac still on the line. He was on before the news.
Good. I heard him.
I didn't have a chance to go back to you, Cormac. Hiya, Cormac. I was just wondering, were you listening to Darianne there?
I was listening to Darianne. She sounds like a very nice lady, but she's living in a microcosm.
And why did you say that?
I was speaking to you in my car in the town I live in. And I saw 15 teenagers walking down past my car, and they were all wearing shoes, which I would estimate in excess of €250 a pair. Now, would Darianne ever recall any child being stabbed in the back outside a school in a working class area in the 50s and 60s? If they're so lovable these days, why did this child get stabbed in the back? Almost killed in Finglas recently. And it's not only in Finglas, it's in other areas. And you're trying to tell me, you're making a judgmental call, Darianne, you're making a judgment that any parent who disciplines their child in a manner that you don't agree with is morally deficient compared to your approach.
Cormac, No, Cormac, hold on. I've listened to you.
You base your comments on your own experience.
Cormac!
Okay,
let
Darianne answer now. Darianne, go ahead.
Thank you. Cormac, listen to me for one second. You're sitting there, you're looking at these kids, you're judging them, okay?
Cormac, let her answer now.
I remember going back to the days of listening to Jerry Ryan and his program, and we had similar conversations back then. And there was a mother who could not afford to buy those runners you're talking about, that you're looking at those kids walking down the streets with, which I wouldn't even think of looking at, right? And what she said was, she used to go into a charity shop, and she'd buy, I think, she used to buy shoes, take the labels off them and sew them onto shoes. So her kids thought they were having these shoes. But, Cormac, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about you living in a micro world based on your own experience. And
Cormac, stop for one second. You don't know me from Adam. But I don't live in any micro, you know, area.
Well, every comment you've made has been based on your own experience.
No, it's not just my own experience, Cormac.
Are you not observing knife crime at epidemic levels in this town by teenagers? Was that going on in the 50s and 60s? Can you answer that, please?
Yes, it was not going on. You know what, Cormac? If you lived in Dublin where I lived, yes, it was.
I lived in Phibsborough.
I never heard
of a knife stabbing. In my entire teenage years, I've never heard of it. There's never been anyone convicted in the 50s, 60s, or early 70s of a knife stabbing in this city. Name one.
Okay, Cormac, we've lost
Darianne. It's every single day.
We've lost Darianne there, Cormac.
Every single day.
Right, Cormac, just stay there for me. I'm going to go to Michael. I've got Michael on the line. We're talking about smacking kids here on Nighttime Talk. If you want to get involved, 087 188 0008 is the number for WhatsApp. Hi, Michael. How are you?
How are you doing, my dear?
Yeah, I'm good. So you're a firm believer in smacking kids?
Yes. I'll explain my background, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My father, right, mother, no problem, great parents to wear. My father worked his arse off for us. But he did believe in discipline and respect. And he instilled the work ethic into us. But if we got into trouble or anything like that, or fighting amongst ourselves, we got a clip across the arse. Guess what? Not one of us, and there was 11 of us.
Oh God, 11, Jesus.
Not one of us got into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
When my mother died when I was only 10, I was the youngest. And all the rest were in early teens where every one of us pulled together because that's the way it was. The family looked after the family and that was it. But he was ex-military and he believed, and his father was ex-military. He was a First World War, my grandfather was. And going back years of all on my father's side, we're all military men. And on my mother's side, all the others were all IRA people. So like I had it from both sides. But discipline, you have to have it. You have to.
So, Michael,
have
do you feel like the line was ever crossed to where it was more than just a smack or more than just a clip?
Nope.
No. Okay.
See, he had a great thing. He had the point that he always made was he used to say, "If you do well, I will reward you. You do wrong and bring trouble to the door, I'll crease you." So we always had that fear.
And that worked. That worked for your family.
Yeah, we always went out and we done our best. We had our chores to do. We done our chores and we pulled together as a family. No drugs, nothing, you know, as the 80s came in, none of that. I'm a qualified electrical engineer. We even started a family business, got a contract off Texaco Oil Company. That's how good we worked. All because of discipline and respect. This business of psychological bullshit that harms a child. A clip across the arse done no child any harm. Never done me any harm. And any of my mates that got the same, all of them have done very well for themselves. So I believe in discipline and respect. And by the way, I spent a lot of time in the military myself. And when my son gave me back cheek one day, I clapped the arse off him. Not in the face, the arse. And guess what? He's never done it since.
And how's your relationship with your son? You don't feel like it affected your relationship with your son?
No, if anything. No. He's a manager now of the textile stores. He's done very well for himself. So you have to have discipline.
Do you think that discipline is missing nowadays from, you know, this
big time?
Yeah.
You answer the policeman back years ago, we had that fear of you seeing a guard, you'd run. If you'd done something wrong, or you were acting a Mickey, you'd run. And it was yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir. I remember growing up in Luke Brannigan's time. And by Christ Almighty, I remember that well. Without discipline, you have no respect. And that's it. That's what's wrong with kids today. F you. If I spoke to my mother and father like that, boy, Jesus Christ, I'd be grounded so hard. But I'm a firm believer of it.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Absolutely.
Thanks for getting involved.
Much obliged to you.
Thanks, everybody, for getting involved tonight. Great conversation there. We're going to have to go to the ads now. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the renaming of Trinity College Dublin's library.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.